Look at your neighbor and say, believe God. Sounds simple, don't it? Believe God. We believe the internet, don't we? We believe the news channels. Believe God. He's never failed me yet. Never let me down. Never messed up. Everything in my life I know has been orchestrated by the hand of God. And no failures have happened, not on his part at all. Believe God. We're going to talk about that this morning in a few scriptures. We'll start in Luke this morning. Luke chapter 5, if you'll start with that. Luke 5, chapter verse 3. Luke 5, beginning with verse 3. Talking about, bless you, believing God. All righty, Luke 5, verse 3. He entered, talking about Jesus, into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Let them down for a catch. And Simon answered him. Now, Simon was a fisherman. He knew what he was doing. Just like we know what we're doing, right? Yeah. Launch out in the deep, let your nets down for a draught. Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. What a powerful, powerful response that was, wasn't it? Look, Lord, I'm a fisherman. I know you do the rabbi stuff. That's cool. You heal the sick and walk in the water, blah, blah, blah. I got that. But I'm a fisherman. This is what I do for a living. And I'm just letting you know, I've been fishing all night long, working all night long. I broke out the up-to-date equipment I've got, the depth charts and everything, the tide movements I know. I fished all night long, and there's nothing here. But at your word, I'm going to believe you and let down my net. Man, if we would just believe God at his word. People say, if I could just hear from God. Oh, I don't know. The number one selling book in the world, 66 books, a bunch of verses, and a bunch of words. The number there, I don't quite know. But I know there's 66 books. And this word is speaking to us today. Just because it was written 1,000 years ago does not mean it doesn't apply to us right now. This is God's spoken word in our lives as we read it. Have you ever read a verse and you've read it once, God gave you something out of it, you read it again, you got something different out of it. You read it again a few years later and got something different out of it. That's because it's living. It's a living word. God is speaking to us through his word in your moment that you are going through. I'm not 16 no more. I'm not 21 years old no more. I'm not on a bad Florida trip with my two buddies anymore. I'm in a different place in my life. And so, God, I need your word to apply to me now. Yesterday's word is over. Today's word is what I need. When Roger was having that pacemaker put in, I'm sure he wasn't thinking about his last procedure. I'm worried about the one I'm in now. I'm not worried about what happened a few years ago. Doc, we gonna be okay today? I want to make sure I'm okay right now. This is what's important is right now. So when it comes to spiritual things, we have a word that teaches us every day what God wants for our lives. But we don't believe God at his word. We'll believe what Leroy tells us. Well, Doc always call me Leroy. We'll believe what Leroy tells me. We'll believe what the guy at the plant tells us. You know, we'll believe what this person tells us. We'll believe everybody except God. I want to trust God and what God says. Nope, I want to tell you this. Nobody else needs to hear from God really but me, right? I need to hear from God. God, if you tell it to me, we're good. I've got it. I understand it. No matter how many try to tell me something different, if you speak into my life, that's all I need. I've got it, Lord, and I believe you. And I'll hold on to it, and I'll trust it all of my days because you have spoken into my life. He let down that net, and I don't really know. The Bible doesn't say. I mean, he had faith, of course, but he's probably doing like this, like how our teenage kids are doing. They roll their eyes at you. And say, I told you, just go check the mailbox. It's not Rand, Daddy. Just go check. I've been here all day. The mailman's not met by. Son, just go check the mailbox. And they go, okay, at your word, I'll go check. They open it up and wow, there it is. Where'd that come from? I didn't see that coming. Simon might have thought, he might have rolled his eyes when he let the net down a little bit. Okay, Lord, at your word, I'll let it down, you know. And man, what happens next? Look what God does by his obedience to faith. Verse 6, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. How many fishermen we got in here? Anybody fish? Ken's a fisher, yes. You ever had a net to break with fish? Ever break? You're lucky if you catch one crappie all day, right? Woo! Got me a 3-ounce crappie. Woo-hoo, yes. Chicken nugget night tonight. I mean, there was, you know how many fish it would take to break a net? These nets weren't made in China. These nets were quality, really good nets. They were made for heavy weight, just like fishing lines have different weighted lines, you know, where you can supposed to be able to pull up a whatever 100-pound fish.
These nets were meant to hold a school of fish.
Testing, okay. They were meant to hold a bunch of fish. So for this net to break, man, God was just showing off. This was not a good catch. This was a supernatural catch. That's how my God works. You know what supernatural means? It happens outside the natural. It happens outside our means, our thoughts, our abilities, our skill set. It happens beyond. In fact, it happens in spite of our skill set, in spite of our abilities, in spite of what we try to do. God just shows up and says, let me take care of business. Step out of the way. Let me be God. You just trust me. Just believe in me, who I am and what I can do. Because what I can do for you is far more than what man can do for you. Their nets broke. Verse 7, they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Can you imagine, Kenneth? Hey, John, bring your boat here too, man. I got to have some help. And he got fish too. Not only did he fill up one net, or his nets, he filled up another ship's nets, so many that both ships were filled that they began to sink. Now, that might be too many fish, right? We're going down. So many fish that the weight was pulling the boat. Man, God was saying, I'm trying to show you something. Where you say nothing can happen, I say it does happen. Where you say nothing exists, I can make it exist. When you say it's impossible, I am the possible. When you say there is no way, I am the way. When you say it can't be done, I get her done. I'm the original get her done guy. I am that God who will get her done. And he does that in our lives every single day. I believe in the power of God more than my own abilities and more than what I can see with my natural eyes. We can't see things. I think we all believe that there are all kinds of sea creatures living under our oceans, right? We all believe that. There's all kinds of whales and sharks and all kinds of stuff under the ocean. We don't see those things. When I go to the beach, you know, I'm only getting in about this far. I'm not seeing none of them creatures, I hope. But I know they're there. I believe they exist. If we believe God exists and that he is the power and king over all things, then our lives will be so much better, realizing why am I stressing over something God can bless me with. I'm not in lack if I'm filled with God. I'm not empty if I'm filled with God. I'm not hopeless if I'm filled with God. There's nothing impossible with God, no matter what doors shut. God can open it at any moment in my life when it's the right time. So I trust that. I saw on Facebook a post I thought was great. It says, you know, stand in the hallway and praise God till he opens the door. Thank Angela or somebody shared that. Or you commented on that. You know, praise him in the hallway till the door opens. Praise him in the hallway. So whatever door's closed, there's going to be a door to open. Your door, God's way, God's time. Believe that and trust that. So both ships begin to sink. They were so filled. That's my last verse on that one, right? Okay. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes that they had taken. And so was James and John, the son of Zebedee, and were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from now on you will catch men." And here, verse 11 is key to our lives today. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Are we forsaking all? What I mean by this, are we forsaking all of our self abilities? Are we forsaking all of our natural thinking? Are we forsaking all of our limitations and saying, "You know what? I can't do this, God. I can't fix this, God. I can't change this, God. And so I'm forsaking all of that, and I'm just going to follow you. You just lead the way." Isn't it great to follow someone that knows what they're doing? I mean, it's good to follow someone that knows what they're doing. Wouldn't you hate to be somebody leading you in a car somewhere and they're totally lost? They're turning here, pulling a gas station, another gas station. You're like, "Man, you don't know where you're going?" I want to follow someone I know where they're going. God knows where he's going. Follow him. Follow his footsteps. He's making the path. When you don't see a path, "I don't see no way," if you're behind me, I promise you, I'm the one that's got the machete, and I am in your life, creating a path for you. Just believe me. Just trust me. Remember when Moses was, when God called him? Moses wasn't sitting on a throne somewhere in a castle. He wasn't in some big position. He was in the backside of a desert. He's minding his own business, tending some sheep. Here he is, and God calls him a burning bush and says, "You're going to be the one to deliver my people." He says, "No, Lord, not me. Yes, you." And then once Moses knew he was stuck with this commission, he believed. And he went to Pharaoh over and over and over and kept trusting God until the children of Israel were released, because he told Moses, "I'm going to deliver my people. You're going to be the one to do it. I believe, God. I believe." Burning bush. Think about this. A bush on fire but not burning up. The power of God. We see things through all the Bible that don't make sense to the natural mind. But, you know, the story of the soldier that had Naaman, the captain, the military leader that had leprosy. Remember, here there's a prophet could heal him. There's a prophet could heal you. Let's go. So he goes to this prophet's house. He pulls up. But Elijah don't come out. He sends a little messenger out. Security guard. "I want to see the pastor." I sent my dad out. "Are you the pastor?" "No, I'm a security guard." But here what the pastor said to do. "Go dip in Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed." "And you're who?" "Security guard." "Are you paid?" "No, I'm volunteer." "You ain't even paid staff?" "No, I'm volunteer." "Okay, you're an unpaid security guard." "I came to see the pastor. I came to see the head dude, the head honcho. And he sends you out." Here's what he said to do. Dip in the Jordan 7 times. And at first he wasn't going to do it. He was all self-righteous, wasn't he? "You know who I am? I've got a bronze star. I thought at least the prophet would come out," the Bible says, "and wave his hand. You know, and say, and give me a word. But he sends you out. And I've got to go to the Jordan River. I can't go to the other rivers, Euphrates, something a little bit cleaner. Something nice, the muddy Jordan River is where you want me to go. And here this dignified bronze star achiever has to undignify himself by going in the muddy river and dipping down 7 times. Now maybe once I could do it, nobody see me. Let's go, boys. But 7 times? He had a choice to make, didn't he? Believe God or keep his disease. His servant came to him and said, "Sir," says, "if he told you something great to do, would you have done it?" "Yeah." "Well, why not do this? Look, if God tells me I can lose 50 pounds by jump roping 10 times in front of y'all, or doing a chicken dance, or a Michael Jackson moonwalk, or go across the chairs, I'm going to do what God tells me, because I want the 50 pounds gone. I would do whatever it took to do it. It wouldn't have to be anything great. I would even watch a Richard Simmons video. If that's what God said for me to lose 50 pounds, I'm going to do what God says. I promise you." Why do we think that God owes us dignified ways of ministering to us? You know what the Bible says? He chooses the foolishness of preaching in order to gain his word. The foolishness of preaching. It doesn't make sense sometimes why God does what he does, but I just want to believe him and trust him. And we know Nathan did finally agree, said, okay, I'll do it. He went that Jordan River, and sure enough, when he came up, the Bible says, the seventh time his skin was clean as snow. He had been made whole because he believed God. God may challenge you in your walk to do things that don't make sense to our mind, because we can reason that out real good. We're good at that, because you know what? We're smart. Yeah, we're real smart. We're so smart that we're missing out on what God's telling us to do. And that's not smart. God, I'll follow you, I'll believe you, and I'll trust you. And I'm ready to forsake all in order that you can be all in my life. That's what I trust. Go to the next scripture. We're going to be in Romans chapter 4. And this is the story of Abraham being called by God and being declared righteous by God through faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Excuse me, 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Here's the beauty of God. Just because you don't see it, don't mean God ain't doing it. Just because it ain't in your hand right now, don't mean God can't put it there. Just because you don't see how it's going to happen doesn't mean the happening is not already on the way for you. Amen. I believe God. I trust him. I trust you, God. Sometimes we're more about trusting what we've seen God do versus trusting God as who he is. God, I want to trust you for who you are. For who you are. You're God. You're my Savior, Emmanuel. My Redeemer, my Deliverer, my Healer, my Counselor. You're all those things in my life. So God, I trust you more than I trust what I can or can't see. That's what faith's all about. When you made those vows years ago, you had faith that y'all would love each other, right, and endure the storms. And when you're in your 20s, you get married, it's all fantasy land, man. It's Disney World, princess, and everything's beautiful. You ain't had no youngins yet. Life's great. Sorry, Ashley. We love you, baby. You ain't had all those, you're starting out and you almost want to have bills. Yeah, we got bills. We're a married couple. And then, the bills get more and more and more and more, and you start getting older and older and older, and you start, man, life just changes. It just changes. You take those vows are vows of faith. I've been married to Melanie 27 years. That's a long time. A lot's changed in 27 years. I mean, when me and Melanie got president. When me and Melanie got married, the first George Bush was in office. Think about that. The first George Bush. I'm like, man, a lot has changed. When me and Melanie got married, Vanilla Ice was still relevant. Ice, Ice Baby. Very relevant. It's amazing how our lives have changed in 27 years. But as we stood at that altar, it was a ceremony of faith. I take you to be my wife through good, through bad, through sickness, through health. She takes me through fatness, through baldness, through all those things. I take you. It's an act of faith because you don't know what tomorrow holds. But you know what? Our love for each other is what keeps our union together. Because I trust Melanie and she trusts me. I trust God. It's an act of faith. Whenever I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, I meant that with all of my heart. You're my Lord and Savior all of my days, God. The good and the bad. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't say this out loud because we think lightning's going to strike us, but I promise you it's not. It's not, church. But we think sometimes, God, I don't really know what you're doing here. I don't understand this, and I got a lot of questions. And there's questions we can't answer, and I get it. And the first thing people want to throw up to me as a Christian about God is things like, how does God let little three-year-old babies have cancer? Why does God let this horrific accident happen where all the people got killed on a bus or a train or a plane? And those are questions none of us can answer. We don't know those answers. And in our hearts, we think that does seem unfair. It seems unfair until I realize that God is very fair because God settled my account. And God paid a balance off that I owed. and I owe it no more. God squared things on my behalf by mercy and grace. So God, questions I don't understand, but I trust you. Just like when you tell your kids when they're little, just trust me, I know what's best. You don't always tell them why. You just, when they're small, you know, Maverick may ask D, can I go to this kid's house? And D knows the parents, you know, and is like, no, you can't spend the night there. Well, why, Mommy? Well, Mama just knows best. He gets mad and upset, don't understand why you're not letting him stay the night, but D knows something that may be dangerous for her son there, or a bad environment, or something negative. And so she just says, Maverick, trust me. Don't you hear God telling that to you? Just trust me. Just trust me. I've got you. I promise. I know you may be in a storm right now, but trust me. I know it may be very dark outside for you right now, but trust me. I know it seems hopeless, but trust me. I know you've been in pain for a long time, but trust me. I know you're needing something. I hear you. I see that. Just trust me. I'm on the way. I'm on the way to deliver to you what you need in your life in the right moment. Just trust me. Just believe me. I've got your best interest at stake. And he does. Here he tells Abraham, or here Abraham says in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. It's when God called him to leave his country and his family to a place he didn't know where he's going. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Then he says this in verse 19. Remember God gave them a promise. Abraham wanted a son. Remember that? From Sarah. And Sarah couldn't give it to him. She was barren. Now this wouldn't work in today's world, Nathan. But here's what Sarah even told her husband. Now here's taking matters into your own hands to the extreme. Because God was going to bless Abraham and Sarah. But Sarah took it to her own hands and told her husband, go sleep with my handmaidens and let them give you a child. That wouldn't go very well for most of you wives in here, would it? Go sleep with my housekeeper. Go sleep with my coworker. She's fertile, and she'll give you a youngin'. Yeah, that ain't going to work. But that's what happened. So here, God promised them a child. Did you know it took 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled? It took 25 years. It didn't happen 9 months later. When the angel told Sarah and Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. And Sarah laughed. Laughed. I'm 99 years old. That's even old for now. I mean, I'm past. I can't have no kid. My husband's 100 years old. Go, Abraham. 100 years old. And I'm going to give you a child. Man. It took 25 years, but something happened. Isaac came forth, just like God promised. And here Abraham, when God made that promise, look what he said in verse 19. Abraham, being not weak in faith, considered not his own body dead when he was 100 years old, yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. That wasn't a consideration. The limitations of her dead womb was not a limitation in his faith. It doesn't matter her womb's dead. It doesn't matter he's 100 years old. If God said it, Lord, if you said I'm going to have a child, I believe that in spite of what I see, in spite of what I feel, I believe that. That's faith. Believe God can reverse the clock. God can change any circumstance. We see it throughout the Bible. We see it with John the Baptist, the great precursor of Christ. He also was born to a woman who couldn't have kids. And the angel stirred Elizabeth's womb, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes John the Baptist. And then he stirred another womb called Mary, who had not been with a guy at all. There's no way she should be carrying a child. And he stirred her womb. He reversed a dead womb. He put a life in a womb that nothing ever happened yet. That's how our God works. God doesn't need the measurements of our abilities to accomplish his purpose. God doesn't need what we have to do anything. He created all things. He is God and everything's in his hands. That's why he's King of kings and Lord of lords and creator of all. The Bible says everything visible and invisible was created by him. He has it all in his hands. He did not even consider the deadness of the womb. And look at verse 20. He staggered not. The word stagger means waver or hesitate. He didn't hesitate. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief will destroy your walk with God. Unbelief's a lie from the devil himself. He doesn't want you to believe that God can, because the devil knows God can, God has, and God will. He already knows that. So if he can place that doubt in your mind, you don't walk with any expectation, any power, any hope, any peace, any joy. Because if we don't believe in God, we have none of those things. Think about this. Will we have any hope of heaven if we didn't believe in God? Any hope of eternal peace if we didn't believe in God? Any hope of a tomorrow if we didn't believe in God? Nothing. Without belief in God, we are left shell-less and empty, which is what we have in this world, which some days may be okay, but a lot of days aren't okay. Because we have some bad, bad days in our life. We have days of sickness. We have days of depression. We have days of financial issues. We have days of family issues, divorce, crisis, death, all kinds of things we face. Paul said in one place, if all I had was this life, I would be of all men most miserable. But thank God I don't have just what's here. I've got something greater. And he says he did not waver through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Notice he gave glory to God before Isaac came. We got to praise God before the delivery. We got to praise God before the birth. We got to give God glory in all that he is, because he's due of our praise and our worship all the time anyway, whether he does anything for us or not. He's worthy of our praise. He gave God glory, didn't stagger, didn't waver, kept believing. And look at verse 21. He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. God, what you said, you're able. And I trust that. I'm going to trust God, what you said, you're able to do it. We get so natural thinking, trying to figure things out our way, when God can bless in a supernatural way. I want to share a prayer report for the church that we received about 2 weeks ago. We received a substantial financial offering to this church from someone that doesn't even come here, someone that's never heard me preach, ever, that's heard me preach. They've never been into a church service here where I preached. And you would not, if they walked in the door, you wouldn't recognize them, wouldn't know who they were. But we got a offering 2 weeks ago from this couple for $5,000, this church. One person, $5,000. And they said, we appreciate what you're doing spreading the gospel. That's how God works. This is why I don't beat the podium with money. Come on, y'all. This is why Bruce went to a black church years ago out when he's in Oklahoma. He said, I went to this black church one Sunday morning. Ushers came and got the offering come up. Pastor said, let me have them plates. Ain't near heavy enough. Y'all go back around. Bruce said, they made them take a second offering. I ain't never done that. I'm not going to. Here's the deal. If your heart is not giving money to your local church, that's a heart issue with you. And that's not anything I can fix. That's up to God to fix. Well, Pastor, I just don't. Look, it's a heart issue. We give what we want to give to. We support what we want to support. None of us have any problem putting $100 for anything we want to do. That we want to do. And so I don't beat. I say, God, me and God made a deal years ago. Years ago. We really did. I said, God, I don't like talking about money. I know all the preachers do it. I'm not going to be that preacher. If we have an issue or we're really low, I may say, hey, guys, we've had a rough couple of months. Need your support. That's all you ever hear me say. I say, God, I want to preach the word, and you take care of the money. How's that? I'll preach your word, and you just make sure we're supplied for. And God always has. And I am proud to say, and we have a lot of support from outside this church. We really do. We have 6 or 7 families every month that don't even come here that support us every single month. God has blessed us. And this year, 2019, unless the bottom drops out the next 2 weeks, completely drops out. And it's not going to drop out, because y'all are ready to get. It won't drop out. we're going to have our best financial year ever this year in 17-year history. 2019, our best financial year. God has truly, and that's, and here's what I'm saying. That's in spite of a lot of y'all not really giving. That's in spite of it. I'm just being honest. That's in spite of y'all not giving. God is still blessed. So I'm not going to stagger his promise. It just don't matter to me no more. I stressed out the first few years of our money starting the church out, which, you know, of course you do. You're starting out a new church. You want to make sure. And I stressed out, you know, and I was driving Melanie crazy. Like, I'm tired. You keep me stressing out, you know. I'm like, you're right. I got to just calm down. God, you raised it. I got to trust you. Go take care of it. And he has. He has. I was actually talking to a pastor this week of a big church here in town, probably one of the biggest churches in town, in Statesville, telling the story of our church, how it started. He said, man, so you need to write a book. He said, I'm serious. You need to write a book. I told him all the things God had done through our early stages of that little fire department, of buying this land, of building this building, of getting this building. I mean, all the things God has done really in a short amount of time, really, in 17 years. That's not long to have what God's blessed us with. It's really not. God's been good to us in spite of those that don't want to obey. That's fine. God has been good to us. He staggered not at the promise. He was persuaded. He was able to do it. And because of that, look at verse 22. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham was counted righteous by God because he believed in God. It's not just written for his sake that it was imputed to him, but to us also it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Believe. Just believe. He died for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. You know what that means? He died for my sin. He raised for my righteousness. I didn't do anything to earn that. I can't. We're still trying to be righteous, man, because of things we do. Jesus is the one that makes us righteous. We can't live good enough to be righteous in the eyes of God. You may live good to be good to other people. Oh, that's a good person. You know, they're a great, great Christian. I see that, but not in God's eyes of being holy apart from him. Believe that he died for our sins. Believe he rose for our righteousness. One more verse. We'll close out. Get you out of here. I'm losing you, so I'm going to get you out of here. John 14. We hear there's a lot of funeral services, right? Here, every preacher at a funeral preaches this scripture. But I want to tie it in a little different today. Let not your heart be troubled. He's telling the, you know, the people, disciples, the Jews, believe in God. Believe also in me. Yes. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. People that say, how do you know there's anything after death? Blah, blah, blah. Because this tells me. Yeah, but that's the Bible. Well, I believe it. It's written by me. I believe it. I believe it. See, if people don't believe this word, you can't help them. Right. You just can't help them. You can't make it. You just can't help them. If they say, well, I don't believe in that Bible. Well, then, sorry, I can't help you. Have a nice day. I hope someone's going to listen to me. I believe God's word. He went to prepare a place for me. Look what it says in verse 3. A place for me. James Lewis has got a place God's prepared. If I go prepare a place, which he did at Calvary, he's talking about the cross, I will come again, receive you into myself, that where I am, you may be also. God ain't going to lose me. We stuck together like peanut butter and jelly. I'm with God and God's with me. I want you to think about that a minute. He went to prepare a place for me that where he is, I'm going to be. That's why I got great confidence in the hereafter. Not because of what I've heard other people say, because of what God's word says. I believe that. There's one place in the one of the Gospels when Jesus was crucified, it says the graves opened up and the saints came out. And people saw that happen. This was not a zombie apocalypse. Thank you. This was the saints of God coming alive because the one that can make them alive came alive first. The first fruits of them that slept. Man, I know I'm going to be where God's at. Verse 4. His disciples said, He said, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. So he's telling them, the place I'm going, you know, and the way you know. Next question, next verse. The disciples asked this. Yeah, very good. Thank you, Nancy Rose. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you go. How can we go? You're talking gibberish to us. Think about this. If I go to Nathan, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you may be also. Where are you going, James? You got to kind of tell me. How do I get there? Am I taking I-77, 40, 421? Which way am I going? Look what he says. Jesus answered him in verse 5. Go back to verse 5. I'm sorry, I missed that, didn't I? Thomas says to him, never mind, go to verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. It's not a geographical thing I'm talking about, it's a spiritual thing. I'm the way. Believe me, trust me, follow me. That's why that name is so powerful. It's so powerful that it broke the graves open when he died. It's so powerful that soldiers fell down dead at his appearance. It's so powerful the demonic man we talked about Wednesday night approached him and called Jesus by name, and the demons couldn't stay in there. That's a powerful name. Yes. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Just believe me. Whatever you're going through today, believe God. Just believe God. Just trust him. I really believe, I do believe this, that everything's in God's timing for our lives. Everything's a certain window he has for us because God has prepared that position for us. And so I trust that and I believe that. I don't have to see it. I don't have to hear it. I don't have to understand it. I don't understand gravity, but I sure do believe in it because we ain't sucked out in space right now. So something's holding me down, and I believe that. I don't understand a lot of things, but I believe it. I don't understand the air mixture we have, the 73, 24, 23, 72, whatever that is. So I don't know the formula. I don't even understand that, but I believe it. So I believe God. Believe God today for what you're battling. Believe God he's going to come through. Believe God he's going to take care of you. Believe God that your past has been forgiven as a Christian. Believe God that every day he's going to take care of you while you're here. And believe that he has a place waiting on you tomorrow. Believe that. Because God never, ever fails. Let's close out in prayer this morning. Father, as we have heard this word, as we've heard this message, we've read these scriptures, let us not stagger at your promises, Lord. Let us not hesitate. Let us not have unbelief to creep in our lives because we've not seen it yet. God, if you can create a child in a dead womb and you can create leprosy being healed by going in the river 7 times, and you can talk through the mouth of a donkey and God, a giant was slayed with one little stone. All the things we've heard and we've read and we've seen in our own lives, God, we've seen you move. In our own lives, we have felt your presence. In our own lives, we've had giants to fall and lions of mouths to close. In our own lives, we've seen that. God, we've seen your healing power. We've seen your saving grace. We've seen your deliverance. We've seen strongholds broken. We know, God, you're able. We know you are able. Give us patience. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom to just trust you through every season of our lives, through every day, no matter what that day looks like. You are in our every single day, God. All of our hope is in you, and we thank you for that. Encourage our faith today, Lord. Let it be elevated as we leave this sanctuary to trust you and believe in you no matter what we see in front of us. We know who lives inside of us, and that changes everything. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises that never fail. In Jesus' name, amen.